I'm Sean.
And I'm Mike, and you're listening to
Sean and Mike Take a Hike.
Welcome to another episode of Sean and Mike Take a Hike. What are we talking about today, Mike?
Today we would talk about how to pack your backpack, where things optimally will go. I mean, it's ultimately your choice where you put stuff in your pack, but there's a method to the madness of where you put stuff and how you put stuff, things of that nature. So I thought we could discuss that.
Yeah. Okay. So good. I like this. I'm into it.
Well, full good, disclosure, that's what right we're talking up front.
Well, full disclosure to people right up front, though, like, it's a lot of trial and error.
Yeah.
Like, how they're going to take different stuff than we take, right? Mm-hmm. So, ultimately, do your own research.
Well, we got that one out of the way quick.
Got that one out early. But it's going to change over time, right? Like, we talked about when we went on this last trip, you and I both joked, like, oh, I forgot how to pack my pack for this trip, because it had been a while since we had been on.
Right. It was the first trip of the year for us since last fall, and then it always changes for me regardless. It's not necessarily just because it's the first time. Every time I pack my pack, I'm like, well, maybe this should go here. Maybe this will be more comfortable, or maybe this will be the better way to do it, or whatever. So it's always evolving for me anyway. Because I buy new gear, I have more gear, I have less gear, I have just different stuff. Well, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, because our gear evolves, so that, like, inherently you got to pack things different, because, of course, nothing is exactly the same size as the old thing that you had. But then, like, even we've talked about before, if we're just going for, like, a single overnight, we'll take more stuff than we take on, I don't want to say more stuff, different stuff than we would take if we're hiking a long distance, right? Like, we might pack a few more creature comforts in a shorter trip because you don't got to carry it for as many days.
Right.
So, like, even that throws off your packing method. But, like you were saying, there's a little bit of a method to the madness, some general guidelines you can follow to pack things in, like, the quote-unquote proper way.
Right, yeah. Ultimately, it's your decision on where you put stuff and how you put stuff. Comfort is the ultimate goal, but there is a method to it to just make sure that to try to make it more comfortable for you. And a lot of the tricks that I have tried over time, it has been more comfortable. I mean, the first trip we ever did in the Porky's, man, it was, I'm not going to say I was uncomfortable dying or anything like that, but it was obviously my first time packing a backpack. Like, I didn't really know where to put stuff and all that.
I packed mine to look like the cover of the catalog. Right. Like, I mean, that's really how I learned how to do it, was like, oh, here's a picture of a guy hiking.
Yeah.
He's got the tent hanging off the bottom. I guess I will hang my tent off the bottom.
Right. I did something. I mean, I looked at that. I did some Googles. I looked at some YouTubes and all that kind of stuff. So I had an idea of how and where to put things. But of course, the people that are showing you have this really expensive gear that folds down to like the size of a penny, and it just fits in the pack where it's supposed to fit. And my gear is not that. Like, our gear was our beginner gear, and most of it still is. And it just isn't the lightest weight. I mean, I'm not saying it's heavy, but it's not the lightest of weight or the folds. It's lightweight, but it doesn't necessarily bulk down, like fold into the smallest thing. So,
well, and we're lucky. We had mentioned in the past in our choosing the right backpack episode, we had talked about, like, you know, we have 65-liter packs, right? We could have bought a 55-liter pack, or we could have bought an external frame pack. I mean, so there's even different options based on the type of backpack that you wind up getting. If you want to learn more about that, listen to it. We have a whole episode on backpacks. Go back and listen to that. Some really good information in there about, you know, picking the type of pack that works for you.
Yeah, and I'll say this. The research that I did wasn't purposely for a pack like ours, which is an external frame with external pockets and different compartments, things like that. That just happens to be the majority of the packs that are out there. And so
internal frame.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Ours are internal frame. Sorry. Yeah. But yeah, so like that's the majority of the packs that are out there. And so that's just what comes up when you start researching this stuff. You would have to get very specific if you want frameless, external frame, or even the bags that don't have compartments. There's just the big stuff sacks that are right. just a bag, like a duffel bag with a frame.
I think most of what we're going to talk about today, at least most of the reading and research I did and just general experience from us going, I think most of what I have to talk about today is going to be fairly accurate regardless of the type of pack that you have.
Yeah.
It's pretty universal, you know, the weight distribution, the different things that we're going to talk about, which we can get into. I think for the most part, it's pretty universal, regardless of the type of pack you have. You might have more or less gear. You might have more attachment points on the outside than maybe you and I have. But for the most part, I think it's pretty universal.
Yeah.
So I guess let's maybe get into it. What do you it's your topic. Why don't you kick us off for the night?
So basically, I guess I'll start off with that the number one thing that I always shoot for is keeping a good center of gravity, like with your weight. So I always try to put the bulkier and heavier stuff towards the middle or lumbar of my pack where it's going to rest against my hips and my back. Just so that's where your weight is. You don't want to be too top heavy because if you got to go uphill, downhill, or even hell, underneath a fallen tree or anything like that, you don't want to risk just toppling over and not being able to get back up. So
you don't want to risk that. And then the other thing, like you don't want to be top or bottom heavy, but you don't want to be like, how can I say this without using visuals? You don't want to be back heavy. Like don't want to feel like you're getting pulled backwards, like you're going to topple over backwards. So your majority of your weight wants to be like in the middle of your back, but like closest to your back,
right?
Like not way on the outside of the pack to like pull you back.
Well, I mean, ultimately the goal is to lift with your legs, not with your back and groin, right? So ultimately you want to put your weight where it's comfortable for your body, because ultimately if it's your weight distribution is off, I'm not going to say a little bit, but if it's off too much, you're going to tire yourself out even more just by keeping yourself in line.
You're going to tire yourself out. You're going to have potential for injury because, like, if you're, you know, we talked in, I mean, not to keep referencing other episodes, but, like, we talked in the exercise episode, right? Like, there's certain exercises that we recommended doing to kind of prep yourself for getting out on the trail. I don't think any of the exercises we talked about really work, like, your back muscles or your, I mean, we talked about core muscles and all that sort of stuff, but, like, don't throw off your regular weight distribution much. I mean, the pack itself is going to throw off your weight distribution a little bit regardless, but don't be doing anything to like super throw it off or you're going to be straining muscles in a weird way just to try to keep yourself upright.
Right.
To try to keep yourself from falling over. I mean, we're talking about like keeping it in your center of gravity and not to do like top, bottom or back, but like also don't do left or right side too heavy.
Right. That became a struggle. I tried out that bear canister that last trip, and that threw off my left right because on the pictures on the box, it showed that it would just fit in the center of my pack, and then everything else would fit around the side of it. And then, like I said, my gear isn't the gear that they were showing, so that didn't work out so well. So that bear canister ended up being to one side, so I had to purposely redo the way that the other stuff fit just so it kind of evened out the weight on the other side. So it was a bit of a struggle, and I no longer have that bear canister for a few different reasons, personal reasons. It's not a bad canister at all. It's just it didn't fit the needs that I wanted.
Yeah.
So, but just going like, just know, again, as you try different gear, your packing method is going to change.
Yeah. Well, and that kind of brings up, and I don't know if we're necessarily done with weight distribution, but that kind of segues into like another thing that I am a firm believer in, which is like, I'm going to call the category of it, like nesting things inside other things. Right.
Right. Okay.
So like So we've got this bear canister,
like the
right?
Russian nesting dolls.
Like the Russian nesting dolls, right. Yeah. Like, or, you know, packing for a trip that you don't want to check a bag for. You know, you're right. Trying to save as much space as you can. Same concept with packing your backpack. Find the stuff that fits inside other stuff so you don't have a bunch of wasted right. space. So in my head, which is not the right way to think about it, but like before you had gotten that bear canister, in my head, I'm like, man, you're going to have all this wasted space in a bear canister because like we're not taking that much food.
Right.
We're not taking that much stuff that needs to be in a bear canister. Well, turns out you can put other stuff in the canister. I don't know why my brain just did not.
I just kept
comprehend that until.
You should have seen his face on the trail. Like, I started pulling stuff out of this bear canister. He's like, well, that doesn't need to be in the bear canister. I'm like, well, yeah, but it needs to go somewhere.
Totally makes sense. What? I mean, when you. I don't know why, but my brain just didn't get there on its own to, like, well, duh, pack it full of everything, quit wasting the space. Absolutely made sense when you started pulling everything out of it, but my brain never went
anything there. You won't need on the trail technically can go in the bear canister,
right? And then I mean, and that goes into, like, we've talked about our Stanley pot before, you know, like, which I love, but like, so then the cups nest inside the pot, so then you're not wasting all that pot space,
right?
You're filling it with things, or, you know, like, so there's lots of different ways. We've talked about before, we take our, when we get to camp, we take a pair of sandals or water shoes or whatever to, put on. Well, you can roll those right up into your tent because you're not going to need them until you get to camp.
Depending on what you take, so, but
depending on what you take and depending on if you're going to need it before you get to camp and all that sort of stuff. But like, there's ways to pack things inside of other things. Get as creative as you can get to utilize that space.
So, yeah, it doesn't just have to be just food that goes in there. You get creative with it and just know that if it's in that bear canister, it's not the easiest thing to access while you're out on the trail.
Well, exactly. And so then, like, if your pot and pan or whatever, you know, if your pot, whatever pot you decide to get, doesn't come with the cups like ours does,
right.
Maybe you can fit, you know, a couple pairs of socks inside your pot or,
whatever.
Your clean socks, not your worn stuff.
Okay. Right.
But, you know, just get creative with the space. Think of, like, okay, is there empty space that I am not utilizing inside of whatever this is, whether it's your bear canister or whether it's your cooking pot or whatever your thing is. Get creative, nest things inside other things whenever possible.
Like you even said, like, we pack our shoes, our camp shoes or whatever, inside our tent because we're not going to be using them until we pretty much got our tent set up. And the other things, like if you've got the little glow sticks that, you know, you snap them and they glow, they provide some light for you, you don't need those till dark. So put those, roll those in your tent.
Yeah.
They're no bigger or thicker than a tent stake, so they'll fit.
Right.
So, yeah, get creative with where you shove stuff because it's all in all, if you get stuck and you can't hike anymore and you need to set up camp, then you're going to be getting everything else out anyway. So that's where I kind of like, and again, it'll be a whole other episode, but that's where I like the bear canister, and I was so against it for so long. It's just that it's just one thing to take out of your pack, and then you're right to your back, or you're to your sleeping bag, or you're right to your air mattress.
Well, and so then the other thing that I have that is, like, very adjacent to this conversation is if you happen to be taking anything fragile, which who's taking anything fragile out on the trail, I kind of understand.
Right.
But, like, for example, we've talked about booze. You and I like booze out on the trail. Most places we go require no glass. But if you happen to be taking something that is glass, one of the things that I did when I do that is I made sure to wrap that in some of my clothes so that wasn't breaking in the pack or like.
Treat it like TSA or UPS is going to be handling it. No offense to those people, but they're not the gentlest of people with your luggage or packages. So.
Not the gentlest, exactly.
So treat it like other people that don't care about your things are going to be handling it. And therefore, I mean, realistically, I fell down on the trail last time. I keep bringing it up. I don't know why, but I unexpectedly fell on the trail last time. Had I fallen on my pack, there, if there was something fragile there, most likely broken.
For sure. So, I mean, just something to keep in mind. I don't imagine most people are taking fragile things out onto the trail. Right. But if you happen to be taking anything that can break, something to think about while you're packing your pack.
Yeah, so that's, like, I thought you were going into layering rather than the compartmentalizing or whatever with your last topic there, but layering kind of fits in with that is just, and with weight distribution, is layer, like, the research I did called it different zones, but there's different types of gear, different purposes for the gear, and different times you're going to need that gear. So layer in necessity of how you're going to be out on the trail and accessibility of what you're going to need. So like first aid kit, last thing you want is that to be in your bear canister or that to be at the bottom of your pack underneath everything else. And you got a friend that's got a broken finger that needs a splint or just a little cut that needs a Band-Aid. You can't, you know, you don't want to bleed all over the place, especially when there's dirt everywhere. You want to get it cleaned up and bandaged. So
yeah, first aid kit,
snacks. If, you know, if you're going to stop for lunch, whatever, have your snacks readily available, things like that.
Yep.
Bug spray.
Bug spray for sure. We will have an entire episode on bug spray because that I could talk for hours about bug spray. Like, I will have to edit myself when we do that episode because there is a lot to talk about with bug spray. But 100% keep your bug spray handy. Bug spray, bug net, all of it. Keep it readily accessible. You don't, like you were saying, you don't want it at the bottom of your pack or where you've got to unpack everything to get to it.
Right. Yeah, and for the most part, Sean and I are pretty good with this. We're pretty friendly. So if like, obviously most things that are on my pack, most pockets are not accessible by me without taking the pack off. So if I need my bug spray, I either put it in Sean's pack and I put his in my pack. So then he can say, hey, stop, I need my bug spray. Or I just say, hey, my bug spray's in this pocket. Can you grab it for me and I can spray real quick?
Which makes it way easier than taking your pack off every time you get to it. So especially if you are hiking with a buddy or a group, if you can like memorize where your stuff is at in a way that you can tell somebody else, like, hey, can you reach into this compartment? It should be, you know, in whatever compartment right here. If you don't have to take that pack on and off, like I know when we're on like our longer, for you and I, 10 miles is a long day, right? If we're on a 10 mile day, I know your pack is heavy, but you don't want to fucking take it off and put it back on.
No, there's several times where you're like, I'm taking this pack off and sitting down, taking a break. I'm like, I'll sit down, take a break, but my pack's staying on because I'm pretty sure the next time I take it off is the last time I take it off. Or you know, this is the last time I'm wearing it today. So,
I mean, you're calling it layering or compartmentalizing. I would just call it organizing. Like, pay attention with how you're organizing things. This is kind of going to depend on the type of pack that you have. So do you have an external frame or an internal frame? Do you have one of those like rucksacks or whatever where it's just one big compartment and you don't have other things? The backpacks that Mike and I have one big compartment and then they got like a lot of little outside compartments that you can stuff stuff into. So like, what are you going to want handy that you can put in this compartment that's readily accessible? You talked about snacks. We talked about first aid kit. We talked about bug spray. If you're carrying a compass, which I highly recommend you do, have that easily accessible if you're not wearing it around your neck. But have that stuff on your maps or your permits. Maybe not permits, because usually when you're on the trail, you don't need readily access to have your permits. But map for sure is a great one. If you have a GPS, make sure you can get to it. You know, so pack that in an area, you know, don't pack that as your first thing in the pack when you're packing.
And I mean, typically, like, our GPS is our phone. A lot of things are our phone. Our maps are our phone, like, all that stuff. We just download to make sure it's on our photos where we don't need signal. So a lot of that's right on our phone. My pack doesn't sit low enough to where I can't get my phone in and out of my pocket. So that's generally where that all sits.
Yeah.
Not everybody has that luxury. Some people have those, I call them phablets. They're the giant like iPhone Max or whatever.
Right. Your large Galaxy
19 plus max, right, whatever. Yeah.
The things that are like an iPad mini and that just don't fit in your pocket. So you might need to have it clipped on somewhere or in a pouch or something. So just make sure that's readily accessible by somebody. So if you need it, you can access it. So, but that's really more, I mean, you're going to find the first trip you ever do, if you're brand new to this whole backpacking thing, you're going to get to camp your first time, depending on how it is, and you're going to wish you packed something different.
Oh, 100%.
Every time you go.
Probably every time.
Based on our experience, every time you go for the first 4 years.
Right. Right. So, and that's, don't feel bad about it. Just make a mental note of it, or, you know, put it in your notes app on your phone or whatever, and just say, okay, remember to put sleeping bag at the bottom, or remember to put raincoat at home. Or whatever. You
know? Well, I mean, two things that you said right there, I got that, like, goes right into other things. So first off, before we entirely get away from like the layering thing or the compartmentalizing things or whatever, one of the things that you could also do, especially if you're new and you maybe don't know what kind type of gear and stuff is out there, they do make like compression bags. So like especially if you've got one of those packs that doesn't have any external compartments, right? Like it's all just one compartment. I would highly recommend getting some of those compression bags, get them color coded or get them like different brands or something so that, you know, like just reaching into your bag, like, oh, this purple one has all my snacks. This orange one has all my clothes. This, you know, what? However that works for you. Or like, if
my black one has
on
my puffy coat that,
right,
that is, we rant and rave about this puffy coat, but it's got its own little stuff sack or compression sack, whatever, and you fold it down, you think it's all small and good, you put it in this thing, and you can get even more air out of it, and then make it stay that size.
That's the thing. You can get more, like, they're kind of twofold. Like, it keeps like-minded things together, and then it also helps make it all smaller, because you can, like, really kind of reef on this stuff to get some of that air sucked out, and then once the air is sucked out, it kind of keeps everything in place. So that is an option too. Like we have a lot of compartments on our bag and we still use those. So I could only imagine if you only had the one compartment, for sure I would want those.
Oh yeah.
But even if you've got multiple compartments, put all your clothes in one and cinch them down or whatever, you know, to kind of get a little bit of extra space in your pack.
Yeah. And like I said, I watch so many people on YouTube and things like that. I think the only way to do a rucksack type deal or one of those pocketless backpacks is that you would have to create your own compartments or create your own. So everything just isn't just thrown about in your pack. Like you want to have some kind of method to it, so you know where things are at. So when you're on the trail or when you get to camp, you don't have to be like, okay, well, I got my tent set up. Now I need my air mattress. That's way at the bottom. Now I got to take everything out. Or like, how, you know, you kind of want to have a little bit of a method to be like, okay, now I'm ready for my air mattress. That's the next thing out of my pack.
Right. So that exact comment also gets back to something you said before that makes me think about something else. So one of the things that I do when I am packing before I leave the house, I lay everything out that I am taking. Yep. Lay it out under my bed.
We use the same checklist, and I just lay everything out and make sure I've got everything on the checklist.
Make sure I have everything on the checklist, but then also, like, laying it all out in front of you, right? Like, okay, this all has to fit in my pack somehow. Mm-hmm. So what am I going to put in rucksack A? Or not rucksack, but compression sack A. What am I going to put in compression sack C? And I start dividing things up based on size, based on weight, based on what sack they're going into. And then that kind of helps me, like, okay, when I'm putting it in my actual pack, first thing I put in there is my water bladder, which we'll get to that in a second because I want to talk about water bladders. But, like, so my water bladder has a specific spot that it kind of has to go. So,
right,
you know, it's got a clip in there, so there's a spot that this has to go here. Everything else is right. A little bit willy-nilly, but like that has to go in one spot. So then it's like, okay,
make sure
what
you
am
fill
I,
it first.
We'll make sure I do fill it first. Yep. But then everything is kind of built around that. So then I start like kind of building the layers out from that and around that so that my heavier stuff is in the middle, my stuff that can really take some abuse or get squished down when I like really cinch my straps down. Like the squishier stuff kind of goes on the outside of it so that you can squish things down. But I have that general, it's all laid out in front of me. I can go through my checklist to make sure I'm not forgetting anything. And then I can start dividing it up to figure out where is it going to fit in the pack.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I do a very similar thing. I start with my bladder. The reason why I brought up, make sure you fill your bladder first is that for our last trip, like I said, we forgot how to pack. I got everything ready to go. And then I was just like, hey, I'm going to fill my bladder. And I pulled it out of the sack and I filled it up. And then I'm like, well, this isn't going to go very well. This is not going to go very well. So I pulled everything back out.
Right. Right. So, yeah. So fill your water bladder up. That's a good tip.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but then the next thing that I put in is the very first part of my layering, and the biggest piece of my equipment that goes into my backpack is my sleeping bag, my blanket.
Yeah, I know that's always a tricky one because like it's really squishy, but it's big. Like it's one of the biggest pieces of equipment that you're going
to
take.
It's big, and it's the last thing I need to take out of my pack.
Yeah,
because you need you set your tent up first, and then I got my air mattress, my pillow. And I'll, you know, do all that stuff. And then, then I can put my sleeping bag or my blanket in there.
So where do you, Mike, put that in your pack? Because it is a big item, but I don't necessarily. You're saying you put it at the bottom of your big chamber, right?
Yeah. So the big chamber's got that little mesh divider between the bottom accessory pouch and then like the actual bottom of the pack. So I put the sleeping bag in first at the very bottom, adjacent to that.
So that kind of goes to what we were talking about, like with the weight distribution, right? Like, because that's a big item, but it is not a heavy item.
Right.
So that is going to be lower on your back outside of your natural center of gravity.
Gotcha. So I might rethink it, but everything that I have seen and read in my own research is that is where 90% of the backpackers put their sleeping bag, just to get the bulk out of the way.
Yeah.
So if you do need to access something later on, then it's accessible. And then it goes to sleep. Like I said, I'm going to be redoing it, and we redo it every time. But in my mind, the way that I would like to do this would be, the next thing would be my sleeping pad, which would go in my tent right before my sleeping bag. So,
okay.
That's where I put that. And that sits right on top. Well, again, I'm going to have a bear canister with me the next time. So
this could all might get thrown out the window.
Good thrown out the window.
Yeah.
So, but you know, not everybody takes a pillow. Some people just use their coat or their jeans or a shoe or whatever for a pillow. Not everybody takes a pillow. We take little roll-up pillows, and they're just little inflatable things. So they don't take up a lot of space, and they're very lightweight. So I like having something to rest my head on that's a little soft. We mentioned it in an episode before. Would highly recommend the pillowcase. I really, really liked that. At the beginning of this, I mentioned, like, my research mentioned zones. So the zone we just kind of covered with the sleeping bag and the sleep pad and all that was more of the core zone, like the bottom of the pack.
Okay.
Where the weight is.
Building the base of the pyramid.
Building the base of the pyramid, and then you go into the – I'm sorry, that was the bottom zone. Then you go into the core zone, which is the heavier items. So the sleeping bag, according to this research, is for the bottom zone. The core zone for the middle is says to place the heaviest items to maintain a lower center of gravity in the middle zone.
Which is basically what we said already. Like, that's where you're going to want the heaviest stuff is, like, closest to your back in this middle zone, so you're not top or bottom heavy. For us, and that would probably be things like what? Like, I would assume the bear canister, right? Because that.
Yep, it even says bear canister, food stash, cooking equipment, heavier clothing. You know, like anything you're going to take that weighs a little bit. And like you said, the sleeping bag has the most bulk, but it's not necessarily the heaviest.
Right.
So in the middle section, that's where I was planning on putting the bear canister, and that's where I wanted to put the last one. It just didn't fit because it was too tall for my pack. So it's right in the center on top of your sleeping bag.
So interestingly enough, like, not that we paid attention to weight as much as we could when we started out of like the gear that we bought, right? But we've said before, we don't want to spend like ultralighter type money on everything. Right. So I actually put our sleeping pad. I bought a new sleeping pad. It's one of these self-inflatables.
It's nice. I love it.
Super nice. It's got like internal foam. We'll have a link to that on our website too. But that is one of the heavier items that I have. Like, we don't have a lot of like individual items that are super heavy.
No.
But I would put like my sleeping pad there because it is one of the heavier items that we have. And then on the occasion that we take our camp chairs,
yeah,
that would be a good zone for those, for at least the stuff that I take in my pack, because it's one of the heavier items.
Yeah. If it'll fit there, if you're taking too much stuff, I have always been in the habit with our camp chairs of strapping that where I strap my tent right below the pack. It goes.
I have done that in the past too, and I'm not saying that's wrong. My concern is, depending on how heavy your tent is, now you're looking at getting things, you're too bottom heavy, right? Like we said, you want that in your core. I don't want you to do things that are going to wind up being too heavy in one area where you're going to feel unbalanced.
Right. No, I'm with you. And when you mentioned putting it there, the thought never occurred to me of putting that in the inside the pack, because it comes with a waterproof or water resistant sleeve or cover. So I'm just like, well, this can go on the outside of my pack. It's not going to get hurt. It's not going to get damaged, whatever. It can go on the outside. So I think that just putting it out there was fine. But when we talk about this core zone, then maybe I need to try to put it there too. I don't know. We're getting new chairs, so we don't know how small they fold down either. So.
And I don't disagree with what you're saying, like the weatherproofness of it.
Yeah.
The size of it. Like, I don't disagree with what you're saying, but it's almost contradictory to what we said before.
Right, right. No, I know.
So this is where the trial and error comes in, though, right? Like, exactly. It's like, okay, where are you going to put stuff? You can have the best intentions, but if it doesn't work, it doesn't work, right? So, like, put it where it's going to work. And we evolved over the few years we've been doing this. We've evolved with where we put things. You're going to have to evolve and do a little bit of trial and error regardless. I like where your head's at with, like, the chair being on the outside because it doesn't need protected. It doesn't need to be under the rain fly. You're not wrong.
Right. But you're not wrong in the fact that you want to be a bit conscientious of the weight distribution. So you got to play around with it. Like you said, we change every damn time we go, we change where shit goes. So,
So that leads into something, and I don't want to cut you off, but I just did. Yeah. And I'm going
to, I'm going to speak as if it's my turn to,
this goes to one of the things that I do, and I don't know if you do this, but this is one of the things I do. So like, usually when you and I are going backpacking, I will load everything up the night before. Get the whole pack, get it ready so that, like, you know, we're starting out first thing the next morning, you're coming to pick me up or I'm coming to pick you up or whatever.
Right.
I don't have to worry about that the morning of. So I get my everything packed the night before. One of the things I do after everything is packed is I put my backpack on, walk around the house with it. Like, it's big and awkward and it's hard to fit through doorways, but, like, I put it on and kind of walk around. Like, am I feeling like I'm going to topple? Do I feel right. like one side is way heavier than the other? Do right. I, you know, like, so I'm not going and walking miles with it, but I'm at least putting it on to feel, does this feel like one side of me is getting weighed down, or do I feel unstable? Yeah. For my money, worth at least putting it on, taking a couple of steps to see, like, does this feel oh. right? Like, just does it feel right? Does it feel right, or right. does it feel wrong? If it feels right, okay, we're good to go. If it feels wrong, figure out why.
I do the same, and I even go as far as normally. I haven't done it consistently, but I try to weigh myself before and weigh myself after the pack just so I know approximately how much the pack weighs. Not that it makes any difference, because I'm probably going to
be weighs, what it is regardless.
I'm not taking anything out if I need it. If it's way too heavy and there's like, well, I could probably do without, you know, that gallon Ziploc baggie of Chex Mix, then I could, you know, I'll do that, but
I mean, that's a good point, too. Like, even just the weight of it. How is the weight? Yeah. Like, regardless of the balance, put it on.
Is it,
does this
is
feel
it too
like
much
you can carry
you?
This for however yeah. far you're going?
Can you deal with one less pair of pants, one less
right.
shirt, one less, you know, is there something in that pack that you don't need? I like my whiskey and cigars at camp. I don't need to have my cigars.
Our camp takes it.
Our camp chair, we rarely ever take that. That's usually an overnighter thing, but like we mentioned on another episode, we were debating about it because we have a camp, or this camp trip coming up, we have to disperse camp. So we don't know if we're going to come across a campsite that somebody has already set up, move some logs, all that stuff. So you got a nice place to sit, nice little fire, whatever. We're anticipating having to sit on something.
Right.
That, so we're like, well, we're going to take our camp chairs. We looked it up. Our old chairs were
3 pounds.
Heavy. Yeah. So we found some that were less than 2 pounds. So we're eliminating half of the weight.
I'm not ready to recommend them yet because we haven't actually tried them out.
We haven't tried them, but I do have the link ready to go. Because we just bought them, I had that link ready. So, we're not recommending them yet, but everything else from this brand that we have tried has been great. So I'm
Stay
anticipating
tuned
really good.
To right. have a review of those because we'll see how they actually work. But
we may be recording our next episode from those chairs on the trail.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Right. Exactly. But yeah, I mean, I definitely do a fit or weight or distribution mm-hmm. check. Like, I put that pack on, take a few steps in it, walk around your living room, see if everything feels right. You'll know pretty quickly, like, does yeah. this feel right or does it not feel right?
Well, and if it's awkward going through a doorway, that's good, because there are going to be awkward spots on the trail of trying to get you and your pack through. Underneath a tree, you have to get over a tree, you have to, you know, get through a tight little tree squeeze or whatever. There's challenges on the trail. It's not just flat ground like a sidewalk. So
absolutely.
If you find it challenging to go through the doorway, maybe take your pack off, readjust some things, and try again.
Yeah.
So I was going to move on to the top zone.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Or the upper zone, which is going to be more or less like we talked about already, the accessibles. Not necessarily the things that need to be ready on your external, because there is an accessory pockets zone, which we've kind of already covered, but this is going to be things that may need to be accessed, but maybe not. Like, I don't, if you were like me when we were in the Porky's, I took a flare gun because my brother-in-law bought me one and really wanted me to take it.
You took a flare gun in the Porky's?
Yeah.
Oh my god. Okay.
So
okay.
I thought you
good
knew
for
that.
You. I maybe did at the time. I must have forgotten.
So things that may need to be accessible but aren't things that are necessarily accessible constantly on the trail. Like normally if I have to use the if I'm pooping in the woods, that's normally at a camp thing if I can avoid it, but I'll still have the toilet paper
oh,
on the
yeah.
top of my
pack. My
pack.
Toilet paper's right at the top. Like, it's yeah. like, open it up, there's the toilet paper.
Just
for
in
sure.
case, just in case, but it's not anything where it's like, it needs to be accessible at every given moment on the trail.
Right.
So
the other thing that we keep at the top of ours, sorry to cut you off, I didn't mean to, but
nope, go ahead.
We take, in my pack, this is not something you pack, so I don't imagine this is on your list because you probably didn't think about it, but like, I keep the water filtration system, which we will have an entire episode on water filtration. But I keep that right on the top of the pack because usually we have enough water to last today, but we have certainly had trips where we had to refill in the middle of the day. So that is always like right at the top.
Have that ready at any given moment and try to be mindful of your water levels on the trail. This again will be on a whole other episode, but hydration cannot be preached enough on the trail. Right. So, if you know you're running low and you come to a stream, filter some water. I don't care if it takes a half hour, an hour, filter that because it's better to get hydrated and take a rest and then not get to your destination at all. So
what else is in your top zone? What would your,
it rain gear, I would say, but we only take rain gear if we know it's going to rain.
Right.
If it's calling for rain, okay, we'll decide. We'll look at the forecast, how much it's going to rain. Are we actually going to take the rain gear?
Right.
Your insulated jacket in case temperatures, things like that, your maps, your compasses, things like that, in case you need them, they can be readily available. I'm still kind of on the thing of, especially if you don't necessarily know where you're going or how to read where you're going and you memorized it off of your map, then have that readily available so you're not relying on the trail markings or that the sign that was there once upon a time is still there, didn't get blown over in wind or whatever. So I kind of like that as things, but it's the top is going to be for your lighter stuff, your less bulky items that can just kind of fit. Like the Peak One stove used to be the first thing that I packed and just shoved it down by my sleeping bag. And now it's like one of the last things I throw in there because it's small. It just fits. So it's just like, what else do I need room for? Oh, the little stove thing. Okay. The canisters are a different story. Those are a little bit bigger. They're a little bit heavier. So they'll just go in my core zone. But then, or in the bear canister, but then the camp stove, if I'm not taking the bear canister, then it just gets shoved wherever. So,
sure.
But yeah, that's the top zone. And like I said, we've already kind of covered the accessory pockets and the external attach. Well, we haven't covered external attachments.
Yeah. So let's talk about external attachments. Cause that's a whole different thing. I feel like than your pockets, right? Cause I feel like your top zone and your accessory pockets, depending on the type of pack that you have, kind of are interchangeable almost. Like, it's your stuff that you want most readily available.
Yep.
It's either at the top of your pack, or if you have external pockets.
Right.
That's
just keep in mind. Yeah, keep in mind the top of your pack is going to be, you have to take your pack off to get to it, whereas the external pockets are something that you or a buddy can grab while it's still attached.
Right.
But that's the only difference.
But then into like these external attachments, I do feel like that's its own thing. Like there's a lot of stuff that you can not necessarily need in your pack, but attached to your pack. So we've mentioned already the tent. We hang the tent off the bottom of our packs.
Yep.
Our tents are pretty
lightweight and they're bulky and don't really fit in the packs. I don't think most do. So I think that's really a common place where people put the tents, and for the most part, they're typically lightweight. It's usually two poles that are aluminum, so they're super lightweight there, and then it's just fabric. So,
but so then, like, what else do you attach? I know one thing that you and I do not attach, but I see attached quite often, is if you don't have a sleeping pad, you have a, I'm going to call it a yoga mat. It's not really a yoga mat, but, like, if you have a sleeping, like, one of the,
the accordion style.
The accordion style or the roll-up foam type pads. Yep. I often see that.
I see that a lot, too. I mean, we probably both see it a lot because we're on the same trails.
Right. yeah.
So, but...
I know the other thing you're going to say. I already know what the next thing is going to be. I already know what you're going to say. Go ahead and say it.
Trekking poles.
Trekking poles.
I see a lot of people use an external strap that is a place where you can just shove your trekking poles, strap them down tight, and then when you need to grab them, it's almost like a katana blade or whatever. You can just pull your trekking poles out, and they're easily accessible right while you're on the trail. You don't have to take anything off. So if you are a moderate trekking pole user, then that is a place that you can put them.
If you are a new listener, Mike and I have an entire episode based on trekking poles. I have my own personal thoughts on trekking poles. I think they have a time and a place for certain people. Mm-hmm. I do not feel like largely I am one of the people that requires a trekking pole or finds a lot of use in them. I could be proven wrong. I'm not saying that I'm right, but yeah, trekking. We have a whole episode on trekking poles. But
yeah,
if you want them, but you don't need them your entire trip, external attachment.
Yeah,
great spot to put them.
Yeah, you don't have to carry them the entire trip if you're not using them the entire time. If you get to a place that's pretty flat ground, not too rocky, not too challenging, or whatever, and you want to put those bad boys up, then just throw them in an external strap, and you're good to go.
One of the other things that Mike and I have talked about on strapping external is anything solar powered. I mean, it's not charging if it's in your pack.
Right. If they don't charge super fast, but at least it's not.
It's getting you a little bit. You've got your lantern that you clip to your external. I've got my battery pack for my phone that I clip outside because it's got a solar bank on it. We talked as one of your options, you might have a solar panel. They make solar panels to strap to your pack. I mean, so that's something to keep in mind. Like, are you attaching these sorts of things to the outside? Are you not going to be able to attach some other things because this is taking up too much room? Or, like, how does that look for you? These are things to think about while you're packing.
Other things that I strap to the exterior of my pack, too, I strap a thing of hand sanitizer to the external of my pack.
Yep.
So it's got a little carabiner attachment, so I just strap that right to it, and it's right by my I use dog poop bags to for when I'm picking up my toilet paper and all that stuff, pack in, pack out type of deal. So I use dog poop bags for that. So that is clipped onto the external part of my bag too. That way I'm not digging through. I guess I could keep that right with my toilet paper, but in case it moves around, shifts or whatever, and it's got a nice little convenient clip. So,
well, and we talked about that in our Pooping in the Woods episode too, about like the different ways that we handle that. So if you're interested in finding out, you know, some tips and tricks on handling that whole situation, check out that episode. We have a whole episode based on, you know, how to deal with that situation.
Yeah. If there are things that have a clip or that are clippable, you could make them clippable and they are not real bulky or heavy or gonna bounce around too much on you, then consider strapping those to the exterior of your pack if they're not gonna get damaged in rain or by the trail or anything like that.
Yeah.
Saves you space on the inside, and then it's just accessible on the outside as well. The other things that utilize the actual straps, like your tent, your trekking poles, things of that nature, make sure you cinch those tight. The straps have their tightening capabilities on them. Tighten them up so they're not bouncing against the back of your legs or anything like that and moving weight around and throwing you all off, acting like a pendulum or whatever. So, yes, tighten those things down. Learn how to use that part of your pack.
Yeah, so that actually, I mean, that's worth spending a minute on, I think, is, you know, we talked about these compression sacks or whatever, if you want to use those to compartmentalize your stuff. But realistically, once you get everything in your pack, once you've figured out how you're going to pack it, once you've got your weight distribution figured out, all that sort of stuff, you want to, as much as you can, depending on the pack that you have, cinch things down so they're not moving. If your pack has built-in cinches, cinch it right down nice and tight, like as tight as you can get it pretty much. Not overly tight, like you don't got to be Hercules about it, but get it cinched down good and tight. If your pack doesn't have built-in cinch straps, maybe consider getting just like some standalone cinch straps. Like you can, if you've got an external frame pack or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
You know, maybe think about getting some cinch straps to like kind of get things so that they're not moving around, shifting on you, throwing you off balance. You know, you've gone this far making sure that everything is balanced. Yeah. We'll now keep stuff from moving around.
Yeah. I've got some straps that I take with us just in case something fails on our packs. I always feel like it's taking up too much space, but they are very little and take up very little space, but then they're lightweight. But I take these like Velcro backup cinch straps just in case something fails. I don't remember where I got them, but I take those as a backup. So I know they are available. So you utilize them. I mean, they're great. So like I said, it just helps keep things from bouncing around and making your day uncomfortable.
Yeah, for sure. And yep. Then the other thing that I kind of wanted to mention, I don't know where this fit, so I didn't really put it in any of the categories we've talked about, but like we talk about clothes, right? Like you and I have talked about clothes quite a bit. Mm-hmm. About we used to take a lot of clothes. We've really pared that down. We're going to stink out on the trail. It's just going to be what it is. And that whole thing. You and I are in Michigan. We've said this before. Like,
right. Our clothes are heavy.
The joke in Michigan for anybody that doesn't live in Michigan is if you don't like the weather, wait 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that you and I consider when we are packing things is like we, I don't want to say we dress in layers because we don't really put that many layers on because we usually hike in the summer and it's fairly consistent right. weather in the summer. But one of the things for our fall trip that we took last year, right? I started out in a t-shirt, but it's like, well, it's going to get cold tonight. And depending on what time we get to camp, like I'm going to want access to a long sleeve t-shirt. Like I made sure I took a long sleeve t-shirt on that trip. So yep. That is another thing I didn't want in the bottom of my pack. Cause what if we're out there, I don't want to have to unpack everything in my pack if I'm getting cold, which chances are you're not going to get too cold because you're hiking and you're burning calories and you're sweating anyway. But clothing layers,
yeah.
If you are going to need layers for your clothes, you're going to start out, maybe it's cold in the morning, you're going to want to strip that off, then maybe you're going to want to put it back on in the evening, whatever that situation looks like for you, have that in a readily accessible. Is that the top zone that we yeah. were talking about? Is that in an external, you know, accessory pocket, whatever that looks like? Just keep in mind, if you're going to need to change clothes throughout the day, figure out what that's going to yeah. look like for you and well, make sure that's accessible.
Like I said earlier, is that based on some of this research that I did, I'm changing where I put the bulk of my clothing just because I could utilize that external pocket for yeah. other things that are more readily available. Like I don't need my other pair of pants. I don't even know if I'm going to take a second pair of pants on this next trip. My other t-shirt, if my t-shirt rips, whatever, I can make it back to camp, then I'll just make it to camp, put on my other t-shirt. So I'm just going to basically, that's going to go into my bottom layer of place where I don't need to grab this stuff. I used to keep it on an external pocket. And then the more I was reading this, I was just like, why?
Right.
So again, that's another reason, like, we don't have a ton of listeners. We love the listeners that we have so far. But we talk about this and we're just like, we do this because it gets us to research. We get to learn things as we go and sure. we get to help a few people as we go. So this actually really enlightened me on how I'm almost grabbed my pack tonight and started. We're not going for 3 weeks, so I don't need to do that just yet. But it's like really got me thinking of how I'm going to redo how I pack this whole thing. So
yeah. Well, and that goes back to what we said right at the beginning. Is like the way you pack is going to evolve every single trip that you take.
Every trip's going to be different.
I don't know if I can foresee getting to a point where it's like, yep, this is the way I pack it every single time, no matter what. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I can see getting to that point. Maybe if we do this for 20 years, maybe we'll get the system down finally. But we're a little over 4 years in at this point, and we're making changes every time we do it.
Right.
So.
Well, and like I showed you last time, I got to find a new bag for my tent. I don't think for this next trip, but my bag is starting to show signs of wear, and I would rather replace the bag so the tent doesn't start having those signs of wear. So I really need to figure that out, or do I just get a new tent? But so it's all evolving as you're going to need new equipment at some point, and then you got to figure out how to pack that new equipment.
Right. I mean, I hate to sum it up this way, but like to sum everything that we've talked about up, it's going to be trial and error. Do your own research, I guess, if we want to use our tagline, but but like it's going to be trial and error, and that's okay. I mean, as long as you get to camp and you have fun, whatever, you know.
Well, yeah, that's the main thing is just making sure you're enjoying yourself. If you notice that, you know, you were leaning a little to the left that day and you're going to start out the next day, well, repack it. You got to take everything out of your pack for the most part when you get to camp anyway.
Exactly.
So you're only stuck with it for the mileage that you set up for your first hike. So,
or if you get a mile in and you find out that it's super uncomfortable, stop. I mean, unless you're with a bunch of jerks that won't stop for you.
Unless you're with Sean and he just likes to keep trucking ahead.
I want to get there. I want to get there and be done. But no, but realistically, like if you were to say to me, like, look, something's not right. We got to take 10 minutes. I got to repack this. Like I'm off balance or whatever. We would stop and repack it. There ain't no, like,
right.
Who cares? Stop and pack in the middle of the day, readjust things if you need to. There ain't no shame in that.
Well, and getting to camp is not a race. I always have to remind myself of that.
I always have to remind.
Like, it's okay if we want to stop and look at this lake. It's okay if we want to stop and take a break or whatever. Unless you're fighting daylight,
you're fighting daylight, hopefully you got a headlamp or something with you.
You got a headlamp and a bug net, so you can put that headlamp on and not be bothered by the bugs. So,
right.
Yeah, again, it's you're doing this to have fun, so have fun with it.
You're doing it to have fun. Be safe about it. Don't hurt yourself doing it. As long as you're getting there. I mean, take all of everything that we've said in this episode with a grain of salt. Like, it's as long as you're getting there, not injured, having fun, enjoying yourself. Like, that's really pack however you want. Like, these are some guidelines, but pack your pack however you want.
Right. Like we said, we started out. I did some research. Sean didn't do any.
there was a picture on the tag. I just matched the picture on the tag.
He wanted to look like the catalog. Got it.
Yeah.
It's like me and salmon fishing. I pretty much look like the catalog. Got it. Okay. Yeah. So I'm not going to leave this episode without at least mentioning a little bit. We kind of mentioned it with my toilet paper. I take a dog poop bag. Don't leave your toilet paper out there. Pack out what you pack in. Take care of the trails. Take care of nature. Leave it nice for the next people.
Yeah, you get done with your first day. You find out that chair that you brought is too heavy. Don't just chuck it out in the woods.
Right.
Don't take it out.
Take it out with you.
Yeah.
If you meet people and you want to give them the chair and they want to carry it out, fine. But don't just leave it there.
So I know we're running a little bit long, but one thing that I did want to mention, and that exactly kind of leads into it that I haven't mentioned yet, is when you are starting your trip versus when you end your trip, you are starting with like clean stuff, right?
Yeah.
You are going to get dirty stuff, dirty clothes, dirty pots and pans, dirty bathroom residue stuff. Make a plan to have that packed in a different part of your pack. To keep as sanitary as you can, which we know it's like backwoods sanitary. It's not like real world sanitary. Right. But try to not intermingle your dirty stuff with your clean stuff. Keep your clean stuff clean and keep your dirty stuff dirty. So I want to mention that before we can close out.
That's some compartmentalization.
Yeah.
Key of that. And then not on how to unpack your pack, but we have a habit of when we get to back to our vehicle, my wife is terrified of ticks. And so if I even see a tick on the trail, then I have to take everything out of my pack that I need to take into the house, check it for ticks, and then put my pack in a garbage bag for 2 days before I can bring it into the house.
Right. Bug bomb it.
Yeah. So be mindful of that if you have a spouse that may or may not be indifferent about ticks and critters. And just make sure that you know where your necessity things are for bringing back into the house. I have to sleep with a bite plate, and so I have to take that on the trail. So I also have to take that back into the house.
Yeah.
So
So the last thing that I want to mention before we do our like actual closeout thing, Mike, I'm not sure if you're even aware, but this is our 1 year anniversary episode. Sean Mike Hike is officially 1 year old, so happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday.
And thank you.
I'll drink to that.
Thank you, everybody that's been listening this far. We certainly do appreciate you guys. Mike and I have mentioned it before, but we really enjoy making this podcast. It's as much for ourselves because we just enjoy talking about this stuff as it is for you guys, right. But we certainly appreciate you guys listening along. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns about anything that we have said on this episode, you can always reach us on our email. It's SeanMikeHike@gmail.com. We're on all the major socials at SeanMikeHike. We have a brand new website that launched in honor of our 1 year anniversary. The website is SeanMikeHike.com. We'll have links to episodes, links to the year that we talk about, all sorts of stuff on there. So feel free to check the website out.
Probably links to our socials.
Links to our socials at SeanMikeHike. I have links to the socials. Yes, there are links to the socials on the website. You can get to that there.
So all you really need to remember is SeanMikeHike.com, and you can get to any of our stuff.
Exactly. If you're listening to this anywhere, if you are one of our subscribers, we would certainly appreciate it if you would rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast wherever you're listening to this. If there's been an episode that's helped you or somebody is trying to get into hiking, feel free to share that episode with them. All of that really helps grow the listener base. We certainly appreciate talking to all you guys. So aside from that, I guess
go take a hike. Yeah,
we'll see you guys in a couple weeks.
Thanks,
everybody.